I'm an addict. My name's Reg. Can you guys hear me okay with this thing? Yeah? I'm a little overwhelmed. I knew it was going to happen. I was one of those people that I'm sure people would say, he's a chronic relapser, he will never get it. I did 12 years like that. I called them my tourist years in the program. And then I surrendered. You know, like it says in our basic text, when we were beaten, we became willing. And that's what it took. You know, I weighed about, I don't know, a lot less than I weigh now. You know, I have about 135 pounds at 6'1", which is not very, I look like, my sister used to say I look like a hockey stick with hair. Open sores, you know. And I'm not going to talk much about my using, because I have a belief, probably, that you guys know how to try and put your life together. I'm only going to use certain things, certain days, certain ways, and never succeeding until you found this place, right? Because we all know how to burn our lives to the ground over and over. And this talk is supposed to be about living the principles of this program. And I want to thank the committee for allowing me to give back and share my story, because that's all I have to share is my story. That's all any of us have, is our own story. And it says in our Just for Today, one of those readings, that that's where the miracles of this program happens, when we just share our own story and people can identify. Maybe not with me, but with somebody else. You know, we've heard six great speakers so far tonight, and I know there's a lot of people identifying, you know, with their stories. And yeah, I can only share my story. So if you haven't been to the places I've been, you don't have to be. I know lots of people that come into these rooms, and the first time they come in, they stay. They take the suggestions, they stay, and I got nothing but respect for those people that can do that. It's not my story, sadly. You know, I was a bit of a cement head. I, you know, had to be beaten down before. I had to lose the whip, you know, because I'd made a whole mess of money and, you know, thought I was all that in a bag of chips, you know. I thought I was all that, you know, and then eventually you realize I can't do this anymore. That's another thing that it says we have in common. You know, the lie of self-sufficiency, right? That we think we can do it on our own, and eventually we get to the place where we just can't do it anymore. Whatever way we say that. For me, it was I'd rather be dead. You know, and I tried a few times and I just couldn't succeed. I wasn't good enough at it, I guess. So, okay, how did this happen? Well, I got, you know, to start learning to live the program. I read the topic, got an email, and it said, living the principles of this program. And I went, yeah, okay, I can do that. Because the first thing that my head said was, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we made a decision to practice these principles in all our affairs. Means I don't have to do it perfectly, right? And the we of this program is where you people come in, my sponsor, my support group, other members of the fellowship, because sometimes I can know what the right thing to do is, I just don't want to do it, you know? Like, I'm sure a lot of us feel like that. We know what the right thing to do is, but I don't want to do it, you know? I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I tell myself, still, today, I've been clean a long time, that I'm part of the solution today. I'm no longer part of the problem. No longer part of the problem. You know, and what that means is I've surrendered. I've surrendered. I'm open now to starting to live the principles of this program. The morning I don't surrender, the morning I don't pray, and sometimes my prayer is as simple as, God, help my sorry ass through another day, because that's prayer, you know. And on the days I think God's a cosmic joke and there is no God, I think, help my sorry, confused ass through another day. And I stay clean, because trust me, I've had those days. I've been clean for a long time. You know, so how do I live the principles of this program? Well, I started to do that when I did the first set of steps. When I did that first set of steps. Because after 12 years of being around the program and never doing the steps, this is too loud for me. Am I too loud? No? Okay. I just moved a little bit away. Is that okay? Can you still hear me? You know, I did that first set of steps. And the amazing part about that, doing that first set of steps, is that prior to surrendering, I was 42 when I got clean. Okay? You can do the math. I was 42 when I stopped being a tourist and I got clean. Right? And I've never had to go to jail again. I spent 17 years in jail, on bail, or on parole. You know, I was in this recidivist cycle because I'd made lots of money and lost it all. I'd had lots of drugs and lost it all. You know, and it was always about trying to get it back. You know? So I came in, I did that first set of steps, and some amazing things started to happen for me about learning to live by these principles. You know, I started to believe, number one, like we talked about the hope, I started to have some hope that possibly I could change. Possibly, right? It didn't take long, maybe a month or two, you know, and I was starting to have some hope that I could change. And I started to learn about this program, and I started to learn about the steps. I started to learn about the spiritual principles in these steps, you know. That first step four was a very interesting piece of work, you know, because I was still pretty crazy in those days. I had been using lots of psychedelics and hard drugs and, you know, and you know, drug-induced psychosis is not a new thing. You do enough drugs, you can have some pretty crazy thinking, right? And so I believe, still today, that I have every defect in my life that I had when I got clean. I have every one of them. But the amount of power those defects have in my life is minuscule now compared to what it was. It ran my life, the defects, right? And spiritual principles had next to no power in my life. And that's, they're kind of reversed. On a good day, you know? Because I can still lose my shit, you know I owe somebody, I punk somebody off, I know that I need to make an amends. You know, I'm human, I'm definitely not the Dalai Lama, you know? And so I've learned some things about myself, and I learned that I need to be honest. I need to talk to my sponsor. I need to talk to my support group, because I have a good support group. I got some guys that we've been doing steps together for years, you know. I know when I'm off balance. I know when I'm not in a good place. But I need to talk to my sponsor or support group about that to get the help that they can give me. God works, in my mind, through other people in this program. You know, and as long as I'm open and allow that to happen, I can hear it. That's why I was 12 years of not getting staying clean. I had no step two. I had none. Because if I had a step two in my life, I would talk about what's going on. I would came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. I used to say that, but I never believed it. Because if I did, I would say, this is what the plan is in my head. This is what I'm thinking of doing, you know. And you people would say, how the hell are you going to stay clean doing that? Whatever that was, that my scheme that was going on in my head, right? So I started talking about what was really going on in my life. And I've been clean ever since. You know, so it's the process works, right? The other thing is, I don't know about you people, but when I came in, I had a hell of a lot of shame and a hell of a lot of guilt in my life, you know, about the nasty piece of work that I had become out there, doing what it takes. Our literature again says we became people we didn't want to become, we did things we didn't want to do, because I had a disease driving the bus. I would wake up in the morning and think, what do I got to do to feed this monster? And I would do it. You know, I would just, that was it. And sadly, I used to think, am I going to get rescued today? And what that meant is, am I going to get arrested today? You know, I even had a, you know, didn't bother me. It was, I was comfortable in that place with those people. Those people. I was one of those people, you know? So yeah, I mean, I've learned about living this program, the spiritual principles in this program, through practicing the spiritual principles. Now, for the first couple of years I was clean, I used to do that living clean. That, you know, the IP, the pamphlet. Man, that's a lot of writing. That's a lot of writing. I got tired of it after I'd been doing it for a few years, right? So I shortened it. And it was, I felt best today when. And I would write about that. Because if that stuff, I knew what I was feeling best today, then I wanted to do more of it. And then I had another question. I felt worse today. And I would write that. And I wanted to do less of that because I didn't want to feel like that anymore, right? Do I owe any amends today? And if I did owe amends, the next thing was, how am I going to do that? And I started doing that ASAP. I wasn't going to wait until I do my next set of steps and write who I need to do an amends. I would pick up the phone. I would make a, if I did something, and I'd phone somebody, and I'd say, you didn't deserve to be talked to like I talked to you yesterday. I value our friendship. I was being really closed-minded. I said some stuff I'm not proud of. If I had to do it over, I'd do it over. I wouldn't do that, right? And I started making those kind of things because I knew what I needed to do, right? And then the other question I always say, what am I going to do for my program tomorrow? What am I going to do for my program tomorrow? So I kept it so that I was doing it. I would still take an inventory, but I was doing it on an ongoing basis, and I didn't have to write that massive, because that other one's a lot, you know, and I did it for a few years, but it was just, I started tightening it up, if you will, to those few questions. The other thing that I need to do to work this program and live these principles is be honest. That's a hard one. You know, I can be honest about, you know, cash register honest. That was the easiest. Don't take shit that doesn't belong to you. You know, that's pretty easy. My sponsor told me, Reg, if you don't take any more pencils, you will not rob any more banks. And I thought, what the hell is he talking about? And finally it dawned on me, you can't be a little bit honest. Either you're honest or you're not. You know, like that first time you're in the store and you got a few bucks in your pocket and you give them a 10, you buy something, and they give you back change for a 20. And you hand it back to them. But you feel like a bit of a loser doing it, right? At least I did when I first did it. I didn't feel like an honest person, right? I didn't feel like an honest person. But you do it more often and you start to feel like an honest person. And I was told, do the next right thing, the feelings will follow. The feelings will follow, you know? I had that happen, but then I can remember, I used to like going and doing auctions. I would always go snooping at auctions and stuff, antiques, collectibles, that kind of stuff when I got clean, because I've been clean a while. I'm in this auction place, it's going to be an auction coming, and there's a book that's sitting on top of a bookcase. And I say to the guy, because I look at this book and I can't believe it's sitting there, it's got to be worth like $20,000, for low, for sure. And I called this guy over, and I said, are you aware that's a first edition? And I said, it's worth a lot of money. He said, well, how much? And I told him. All of a sudden, he grabs it, and he puts it in the lock case, right? I felt like an honest guy that day. I didn't feel like an honest guy when I did the original thing, you know, with the $20 thing. I had to keep practicing these principles. You know, it takes time. The amends that I did when I first got clean, that was another interesting thing. I owed lots of amends, lots of financial amends. And I put them in a shoebox on top of a shelf. And I would reach in and I would pull one out and I would say, okay, that's the one I'm doing. Because I didn't have much money. I was working, making minimum wage. You know, I was making minimum wage. But I had to make these amends, right? Live by these principles. And I did that. You know, I had my ex-father-in-law. They were Christians. I don't say that in a bad way. I'm just saying that's who they were. That's why they kept believing in me, I believe. And but he lent me about $10,000 the first time. I went back with a better story and he gave me 15 more. That's a good addict, right? Now I get clean and I gotta pay that back. I did pay that back. And that felt really, really good. It took me a few years. I went and gave him, I was told by my sponsor, you can't go and say, I owe you this money unless you have a plan to pay him back. You can't owe somebody a financial amend unless you got a plan. So I'm working, and I wrote some post-dated checks for paydays for a year, and I said, I'll be back with another stack of checks before these run out. And if I got extra money, I would piece them off. I would give them some more. I paid him off. I paid him off $25,000, right? And it felt really good because when I put my head down on the pillow at night, I know that I've done all I can do to make those amends, right? I don't know about you people, but my disease took me to some pretty nasty places. And I did some stuff that I'm not going to talk about, but let's just say I can't make a direct amends for it. Right? But I can make an indirect amend, right? By living clean and being part of the solution, you know, because that's what I have to do. You know, that's what I have to do. I don't like who I was, but I can own it and move on, right? But I did own it, you know, with my sponsor, and I did write about it. And that's another thing. I was so delusional when I first got clean, that first set of steps. I would write like, the such and such incident. And if I feel comfortable, I'll expand on that. Because I thought when I wasn't there, because I got clean and I was living in a house with some other people trying the best they could. It wasn't called a treatment center back then, now it is, but it was called a recovery house, right? And I thought, if they're going through that stuff, I'm not putting anything down that I can go to jail for. You know, that I haven't already been charged with anyways, right? I put other stuff down, but if it was something I hadn't been charged for, I wasn't writing that shit down, period. So I'd write such and such incident. And then when I did my step five, I actually shared that stuff, right? You know, and I haven't had, I mean, that's the hard stuff. I mean, people said you look different after that first step five that I did. You look different because my face, they said, was relaxed. I wasn't like, you know how you have that stay away from me kind of look? It was gone. I had softened, you know, how that happened. Like, this program, hang on a sec. I need water. This program is a miracle how it works, right? I mean, all I got to do is just do one next right thing, one step at a time, right? That's it. That's all I got to do. But when I first came around during those 12 tourist years, I wanted to understand, why am I writing that step? I would do this, but I said, oh, maybe I'll do that one step, but I never do that one. Now I realized, once I surrendered and decided to do the steps, you learn on the other side of doing the steps, why the benefits and what you were doing, why you're writing those steps, the awareness you get, right? So, yeah, I've done a lot of sets of steps. And there's another interesting thing I've found that you can do with this 12-step program. You can actually sit down, which I've done, write a step one honestly about what's going on in my life today and answer all the questions honestly, because it's not about using, it's about where do I have some dis-ease in my life. And at the end of writing that step one, I know exactly what I have to do when I'm writing that set of steps on. Because when I, before I write that step one, and I, you know, it's been 6 months or, because usually I get with a bunch of guys and we'll take the break, we'll get back in September, and then we'll write straight through until March, like about 6 month period, and we meet every 2 weeks. And I don't know what I'm going to write, be writing that set of steps about. The first set of steps was, of course, about me out there and who I am. Next set of steps was about who I am in these rooms and how everything's morphing. You know, the defects are morphing. It's like playing whack-a-mole. You take care of that, and if something pop, you know, you got to keep staying on top of what's going on with us. I mean, because like I said, you know, I'm only human, you know, and it's about that balance, maintaining that balance, you know. And yeah, so that's how I can stay on top of trying to live this program, by continuing to work the steps, talk about what's going on, and make the changes. Because this is an action program. If you're not doing the action, see, the basic text says, recovery definition, but basic text, recovery is an active change of old attitudes, beliefs, behaviors, and the way we deal with our feelings. Active being the key word. So if I'm not doing any action, I'm not in recovery. So I have to surrender, I have to turn it over, I have to start doing something on a daily basis, because I'm not. I use the analogy, it's like when we were kids, I grew up in Winnipeg. I'm living on the West Coast now in Vancouver on the Pacific, but I grew up in Winnipeg, cold, winter. We used to go downtown, a bunch of us youngins, you know, and we'd get downtown and we'd cause havoc, you know, we'd be in the big department stores and we'd make bets. Can you run up the down escalator as it's coming down? We'd wait till nobody was on it and then you bolt for it, right, to try and run to the top. That's kind of my analogy for working the steps in my life. If I say I'm coasting, it's like I'm standing on the down elevator. No, I'm not. I'm going back. Because I don't believe you can coast in this program. You got to keep working the program. That's why I keep doing what I do. You know, and we have tools in this program to deal with life that I feel is a blessing. You know, I'm really grateful that I'm a recovering addict, because I have tools in my life that other people don't have. And as long as I don't pick up, and trust me, I've done some pretty crazy stuff clean in the last 31 years that I've been clean. I've done some crazy stuff. But I'll go talk to my sponsor. I always keep talking about what's going on. My sponsor has put me on newcomer status, not that I've used. He said, do 90 and 90. Start working a set of steps with somebody. Let me know how you feel in a couple of weeks. Because the first time I went to him and I said, is this all there is? I was like 10 years clean. I had a relationship. I had real estate. I had a good job. And I was bored stiff. Is this all there is? And he said, who are you working a set of steps with? And I said, I'm not currently. And he said, well, when was the last time you did? And I said, you know, you got to think that hard? He said, put yourself on newcomer status. So I did, right? I did. 90 and 90, inside a week or two, I stalked a sponsee. You know how you do that? You find a new person, you come up and you say, here's my number. Oh, can I get yours? Okay, cool. And then you call them. Let's go for coffee. I'll buy you. I'll take you out for a meal after. You know, I needed a sponsee that I could get working the steps with, right? That's what he told me. Stalk a sponsee if you have to. I said, you know. He said, get working on the steps if none of your current sponsees want to do that. So I do that, right? The second time that he did that to me, I was 20 years clean. And I was going through a divorce that was costing me an incredible amount of money. My mom was dying. Thank you. My dad was dying, both in different homes, different hospitals. And my sponsor said, you know, he said, I think you should put yourself on newcomer status right now. You need the fellowship around you. You got a lot of heavy shit going on in your life right now. So I did it. I just did it. I take suggestions my sponsor gives me. I just do it. You know, because he gave me a suggestion way back when to get certified in this field, and I got certified as a clinical supervisor in addictions. I went back to school, and I had a career, like a really good paying career for a long time. And I didn't, when I got clean and I heard people saying they wanted to become a counselor or anything like that, I used to go, fuck, I ain't doing that. And my sponsor told me, he says, you got a mind that you need something. You need to learn how to sell recovery like you sold that other shit. He said, that's what you need. Because if you don't have something to occupy that mind of yours, danger, danger, danger. You know? And I said, okay. So I did it. And I learned how to do that. The third time I went on newcomer status, and I'll wrap up quick. I got 5 minutes, right? Four? Three? Okay. Okay, three. I went through a relationship breakup and another one. I've had a history of those, you know. I needed to do it. I put myself on newcomer status. I phoned him and told him I put myself on newcomer status at 30 years clean. And I started doing a walking meditation where I would walk 6 to 8 kilometers every day and meditate, you know, bless them, help me work a program, lose what I was feeling, because I was going through a ton of shit. Anyways, I'm going to wrap up with this. The last paragraph in the Living Clean book in the first chapter is one of my favorite things right now, because I'm kind of a visual thinker. And it talks about how the program of Narcotics Anonymous is our bridge to a new way of life. That's what it talks about in that chapter, or the paragraph in the Living Clean book, the last paragraph in the first chapter. Right? And that's what it says. And I envision that shit show behind me. I'm crossing the bridge, and there's this, the potential is unlimited as long as I'm prepared to do the work, right? Because it's an action program when I go into this new way of life. And then it goes on to say, and we can use that bridge for the rest of our lives, no matter what's going on in our lives. We can use the program of Narcotics Anonymous to get into the solution. And with each level of freedom, it talks about freedom, each level of freedom becomes things we haven't even considered. It talks about all the freedom, because that's what this program is about, right? Our promise is freedom, right? That's what it is. Anyways, I hope everybody has had as much fun so far today and enjoyed the speakers as I have. I really enjoyed what I've heard today. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to going to the sauna, to doing that tonight from here. But yeah, so thank the committee again. I know the work that it is in putting a convention together. I've been on lots of convention committees. But I'm really enjoying being in Finland. Thank you. Ha ha ha.